God, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. If it had not been for you on our side, where would we be? So God, in your goodness, give us a word today. We declare we need it like never before. A word that will shatter our fears, that will encourage our hearts, and give us the fire to run on. So speak, oh God, as only you can. Move however you need to. Do whatever it is you need to do. We yield to you and your spirit alone. Have your way. Have your way. So that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. It is so good to be worshiping with you all once again. You all made an impression on me last time I was here. Seven last words. I called my mom. I said, that church don't know how to act up there in Hackensack. They just, and sure enough, they did it again. They run around the church. They shout. They holler. I said, I want to thank your pastoral team. Reverend Jackson, Mrs. Jackson, I praise God for them. I'm sure you all praise God because you know a whole lot of churches don't have good pastors. You all need to be very, very thankful for a good pastoral team. Good, solid, holy pastoral team. Yes, yes. And to the ministerial staff here, the officers, members, and those who are newly baptized. And yes, praise God, praise God. Yes. Yes, and to the families on Family Day, we bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of our lives. And I also bring you greetings from St. James AME Church, your sister church in Newark, New Jersey, where the pastor, the Reverend Ronald Slaughter, he wants me to give you greetings. And so, yes, praise God for them. And also from Drew Theological School, where we try to do our best to train the ministers you send us and give them back to you as quickly as we can. and the dean there is Dean Jeffrey Kwan. He wants me to give you greetings as well. I have two people with me. They were already announced, but just Reverend Cherie and Little Patrick, they are here with me. She is the sugar on top of my pound cake, and I just love her so much. I'm just so glad she's here. I just, you know. She told me not to get too mushy, so I'm going to leave it right there. Okay, if you have your Bibles, we're going to get right to it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, the second chapter. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And when you get it, say, I got it. If you need some more time, say, wait on me. Yeah, I know. The Gospel of Mark was in your Bible yesterday, and now we can't find it. I understand. Don't you hate that? Everybody else on your row got their Bible, and they're right there, and you're still flipping through, and oh, you start getting nervous. It starts getting hot inside the church. You realize your page is the only pages that are flipping, so now you're sitting there in Zechariah just hoping nobody guesses, you know. Don't want anybody to look over in your Bible. What you got? Well, okay. I'm sorry, the gospel comedy was the other night. I'm sorry. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And Jesus was preaching the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And at once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up, take your mat and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. That's verse 3. Then verse 4, and when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. For the brief time that we have together, please pray with me as we think about this topic. Getting ready for revival. Getting ready for revival. Well, we're not going to dance around it. We'll just get right to the heart of it. When you look at this text, we see what the primary issue is. Paralysis. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I went and checked it out. The Brain and Spine Foundation defines paralysis this way. Paralysis is the loss of power to move a part of the body due to some injury or disease in your nerves that supplies muscles involving moving that part of the body. Very simply, paralysis is the loss of muscle function in a part of your body. It is the loss of strength. It's the loss of control. The place of strength has been weakened or destroyed. The place of movement has been immobilized. Progress has been stopped. And paralysis, according to doctors, is normally the result of a stroke or an injury to the spinal cord or some kind of nerve disease. So when the flow of blood to the brain is interrupted, paralysis can follow. When the spine is injured, paralysis can occur. When nerves are infected, paralysis results. When our daily life gets interrupted, paralysis can creep in, can it? When our foundation is shaking, paralysis is possible. When our feelings get hurt, paralysis can come. Have you ever been there? Family finances got interrupted with a crisis. Unexpected bills, family emergencies, loss of the job. Then you were paralyzed. You weren't able to move like you wanted. You were weakened. Other folks say they don't want to hire you because you don't have a job already. And then you have to choose between food and medicine. There's not enough money to last you the month. And you're looking at your children with disappointment. You are paralyzed. Maybe your life was interrupted by a blast from the past. That old issue, that old person, that old habit, that old craving you thought was long gone has now come back with a vengeance. And their presence has halted your joy and your peace and your future. And they make you believe you have no power. They told you you were paralyzed. Perhaps you had a startling realization. You were doing just fine, but you had this divine interruption. You caught a vision, a glimpse from God for a plan for your life. And it was so frightening, it made you stop. And then you had to come to grips with the fact that the place where you are is not where you're supposed to be. And in order to get where you got to go, you have to give up control of your life. You have to stop walking by sight. But how do you go forward? How do you reach the place God said belongs to you? Who will believe you? Where will you get the resource? How will you overcome? What happens if you fail? And all those questions seem to bombard our spirit, and then we are paralyzed. We can look back through our cultural history, can't we? And look at all the times of paralysis when Africans were ripped out of Mother Africa and then put in chains. Initially, those slaves were paralyzed. And then we got through the Emancipation Proclamation and had to deal with Jim Crow. And now we had to be segregated. Those forefathers and foremothers were initially paralyzed. Many of our young boys and young girls are being locked away for crimes. They really ought not be crimes at all. But we don't do anything about it because we are paralyzed. We let folk talk about President Obama like a dirty dog. And we don't do a blessed thing because we are paralyzed. Now, you know, the tragedy is not getting paralyzed. Because if truth be told, we all will come to a time where we will face paralysis. But the tragedy is when we stay paralyzed and don't get any treatment. See, when a person receives no treatment for their paralysis, a number of things can occur. They can go through depression. They can go through spasms. They start spazzing out. And they can get bed sores. Now, that's interesting. A bed sore is what happens when there's unrelieved pressure on your skin. And it starts to squeeze the tiny blood vessels that supply your skin with oxygen and nutrients. And the skin gets so starved for blood that the tissues in your skin begin to die. And they begin to form these ulcers called bed sores. Isn't that what happens to us spiritually? We feel this unbelievable pressure. We get squeezed by our finances, squeezed by our family members, squeezed by our church members, squeezed by what they think, squeezed by what they say, squeezed by what they do. And all this squeezing, we are starving, starving for attention, starving for understanding, starving for a way out, for a leg up, for an open door. And while we're starving, things start dying. Our hope begins dying. Our vision begins dying. Our dreams begin to die. Our joy and our peace, they begin to die. So the question becomes, how do we stop this? How do we come out of the paralysis? How do we overcome the interruptions in our lives? How do we face the loss of power and control? How do we survive the depression? How do we keep ourselves from dying? One word. Revival. Now, this may sound strange. How is revival a remedy for paralysis? Because doctors would tell you, allegedly, there's no cure for paralysis. But there are some treatments. Now, again, I'm not a doctor, but I looked up the treatments for paralysis. Brain stimulation, stem cell treatment, peripheral nerve rerouting, spinal cord regeneration. And if I was a doctor, I could tell you what all those things mean. But there is one common thread in all of the treatments. It's about bringing life to that which is damaged or dying. That's revival. And I believe that's what God wants for us. Because God is the source of revival. See, God promises revival for all of his children. You do remember the promise. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Or the other promise. If any person be in Christ, he or she becomes a new creation. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. Ezekiel said, God will put in us a new heart and put a new spirit in us. So God wants us to have revival and makes it available for us, but we have to be ready to receive it. We have to do our part. We have to get ready for revival. But how does a paralytic get ready? I'm powerless. I'm weak. I'm stuck. How can I get ready? Well, maybe you have partial paralysis. So then you have to use whatever part of you is working and get ready for revival. Did you know that the community brought this man to Jesus? They said a part of us is dying and we're going to bring the part of us that the people of us that are healthy will bring the person that is dying to. Maybe you're dealing with total paralysis. Well, maybe you have to be like the man in text and swallow your pride and ask for help. Notice the paralytic man was not arguing. He didn't act like he didn't need anybody's help. He didn't pretend like he didn't have a problem. He accepted the help and he allowed them to get him ready to be revived. So if you have some ability, walk to your blessing, crawl, dig, scratch your way to get ready. And if you're stuck completely, that's why we got family day today. Lean and depend on the folk that God puts in your life. So we have to get ready. We got to get ready. Now, the first thing we have to do is let go of unhealthy limitations. Chapter 2 of Mark, verse 3 says it like this. Then some people came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man carried by four of them. The fact that they carried this paralyzed man shows that they let go of some unhealthy limitations. See, paralysis in that day and time was considered unclean by religious standards. And so if you touch this man, you too would become unclean. But not only did they touch him, but they carried him in a public place where other folk could see them. And even though the paralyzed man was letting go of unhealthy limitations that may have been placed on him, he was not content with his station in life. because according to scholars, the only thing he could ever be was a beggar. And he said, I'm not content with being a beggar. I'm not content with being considered unclean. He was not satisfied with not being able to approach God for himself. So he allowed his community to carry him to Jesus. Now, in order to get rid of unhealthy limitations, the people in our text, they didn't just defy old ways of thinking. They took their issues to the place where Jesus was speaking. Did you catch verse 2? It says Jesus was at home. And he was preaching, declaring, speaking the word to them. In the Greek, the verb for speaking is used in the imperfect tense, which means the action was continual. Jesus kept on speaking. He kept on preaching. He kept on declaring the word. The people took the paralyzed man to a place where Jesus was at home and was constantly preaching. We too have to take our paralysis, our issues, our hurts, all the stuff that binds us, and take it to the place where Jesus is at home. We've got to go where the word of Christ is continually being preached. We've got to let go of the labels and the limitations that other people put on us and go to the place where Jesus is always offering new life. Let go of that unhealthy limitation. Let go of the you're a has-been. Let go of you're just like your no good daddy. Let go of you'll never amount to anything. Let go of I remember you when. Let go of ignorant, dumb, stupid, pitiful, punching bag. Let go. And go to the place where Jesus is at home and being preached. Go to the place that's speaking deliverance. Go to the place that's speaking healing. Go to the place that's speaking justice. Go to the place that's teaching you to be financially free. Go to the place that declares forgiveness. Go to your home. Go to that place in your job. Go to that place in your marriage, in your family, and in your church. Go to that place in yourself. Isn't that what the African slaves did? They sang, steal away to Jesus. steal away to Jesus. I ain't got long to... And then they made the Underground Railroad. They got rid of the unhealthy limitations. The N-word, the slave word, they got rid of that and went to the place where Jesus said, you can be free. Yes. Got to make that move. Got to get rid of unhealthy limitations. Now, when you do this, everybody's not going to understand. Every situation may not go your way. Things might get worse before they get better. There will be some weary days and some long nights, and you will find yourself wondering if your prayers are even reaching God at all. Did you catch what happens in verse 4? The people could not bring the paralyzed man to Jesus because of the crowd. So the second thing you have to do when you get ready for revival, you've got to expect some obstacles. When they took him to Jesus, they could not get in because of the crowds. You need to know that there will be some crowds in your way. When you decide that you've had enough of this paralysis, when you make up in your mind you're going to turn this thing over to God, when you begin letting go of unhealthy limitations and you go to where Jesus is at home, when you begin to take your prayer life seriously, when you begin to take your calling seriously, when you begin to take your vision seriously, when you go back to school, when you go after that job, when you start your business, when you join that ministry, when you tend to that paralysis, when you decide to do that, a crowd will pop up. It gets crowded all of a sudden. Things get in your way. People get in your way. Memories, feelings start to get in your way. Emergencies, distractions, disappointments, fake friends, people playing church start to get in your way. And they block your view of God. They keep you from hearing the word. They limit your ability to get into the presence of Jesus. They challenge your deliverance. They contest your breakthrough. And what I'm here to say is you ought to expect it. You need to expect the crowds, expect the obstacles, expect the challenges, and you need to expect them most in the place that is designed for your healing. Check it out one more time. The people brought the man to where Jesus was always preaching the word. And when Jesus preached the word, the crowd popped up. And the crowd blocked the door. Now, in and of itself, the crowd is not bad. Those people are there to hear Jesus too. They are there because the word is being preached. So that person sat in your favorite seat today because they want to hear the word just like you. A bunch of people are applying for the job that you're applying for because they want to move up just like you. Several people have their eyes on that man or on that woman that you have your eyes on because they want to get married just like you. Good people are attracted to a good idea, to a good person, to a good purpose. Therefore, the place where you have to go to get your deliverance will probably be crowded with good people. See, it's one thing when you got to face your enemy that's blocking your blessing. But what happens when your friend is standing in front of the door? No need to get upset. Don't get bent out of shape. Just expect it. But you also have to expect this. There will be some naysayers in the crowd too. Did you catch out verse 6? It said the scribes were sitting there. And that imperfect tense of the verb sitting is there. So it means the scribes were always sitting there. Naysayers will always be sitting there. Haters will always be sitting there. Enemies and doubters will always be sitting there. But you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret because the scribe doesn't have more power than Jesus. Now they may block the door, but they can't block God. You can look back in our history. They couldn't block the Emancipation Proclamation. They couldn't block desegregation. They couldn't block us when we built up HBCUs. They couldn't block President Obama becoming the president. And the devil can't block the blessing that God has for you. Don't let the enemy punk you out and tell you that you can't have what God said belongs to you, because the enemy can't block what comes from God. You know, the crowd is only there because God allowed them to be there. So maybe, just maybe for some of us, God doesn't want us to take the easy way out. Maybe our way is supposed to be different from everybody else's way. Maybe God has something special in mind for you. So expect the obstacle. Expect the crowds. Expect the easy way to be blocked. Don't you remember that verse out of St. Matthew? Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few people will find it. I realize that's easier said than done. That's why Paul said you got to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's the third step. When you get ready for revival, you got to let go of the unhealthy limitations. You got to expect some obstacles. But thirdly, you got to have some faith. It says when the people saw that they couldn't get to Jesus by going through the door, they removed the roof. They dug through it. And they let down the mat on which the paralyzed man was laying. And then the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Now, Jesus didn't see their faith because the people were giving great lip service. He didn't see their faith because they got to the door and started complaining. Why is Sister So-and-so here? And why is he up praying? And what business does he have? Jesus saw their faith because they put actions behind their beliefs. They believed that Jesus could heal their paralyzed friend. So they did whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. They didn't let the crowd deter them. They didn't let the blockage stop them. They even tore up somebody else's private property. And they made a holy mess. You do know that the rules in that day and time, in that culture, were made out of mud and wood. So they had to dig through mud. I had a preaching student with a preacher's text, Reverend, and said, can you imagine mud falling on the Savior? So that begs the question, are you willing to do the messy work to get to Jesus? Are you willing to get messy? Are you willing to keep digging? Are you willing to take your paralysis and lower it where everybody else can see it? Are you willing to take the unusual path, the extraordinary journey to your victory? That's what faith really is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you translate it correctly, it says faith is the down payment for things hoped for. Down payment. Faith is what I do before God blesses me. Faith is the action I take before God delivers me. See, those African slaves made down payments on our behalf. They didn't know we would be free, but they went on the Underground Railroad on our behalf. They made the down payment. The civil rights workers made a down payment. They didn't know how we were going to end, but they said, we shall overcome someday. Before Jesus could lift a finger, these folk raised the roof, dug through the mud, and lowered their paralytic friend before their master. Will we be willing to work before Jesus blesses? Will we be willing to praise him before he answers our prayers? Will we be able to serve him before he opens the door? Will we open our paralysis to him before he heals us? Well, I just got this final promise for you. When you do, Jesus will see your faith. And that's the good news. Those tears you shed at midnight, Jesus saw them. Those prayers you prayed early in the morning, Jesus heard them. Those exams you studied for, Jesus knows about them. Your faithfulness on the job, Jesus sees it. Your willingness to stay where God planted you, Jesus sees your faith. He sees your hurt. He sees your heart. He feels your pain. He knows where you're weak. He knows where you've been paralyzed. And he knows you're struggling, trying to do your best. He saw you stand up when nobody else stood with you. He saw you stand for righteousness when everybody else tore you down. He saw you praying when nobody else prayed for you. He saw you visit the sick when nobody else went with you. He saw 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 your faith. Hallelujah. I got to take a praise break right there. I get happy when I think about all the work I'm doing, even though other folk don't notice it. Jesus saw me. All the things I had to go through, nobody knows about it, but Jesus saw me. Do I have any witnesses that Jesus saw you? Other people were writing your obituary, but Jesus saw you. Other folk counted you out, but Jesus saw you. Jesus saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He wiped the mud out of his eyes. Because all that hard work you were doing got his attention. That mud fell on his face. He said, who is that praising me in Hackensack? Who is that worshiping me in northern New Jersey? Who are those people? Let me get this mud out of my eyes. And he says, Mount Olive, I see your faith. Reverend Jackson, I see your faith. I see your faith. I see it. Now, I'm done. I just got one more thing to say. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, really, that's where we ought to just be falling out, foaming at the mouth, running around the church. We ought to be doing backflips. Did you catch it? He called him son. See, he didn't focus on the idea of sin being something evil the man had done. Rather, he focused on the idea of sin as something that blocked this man from having a relationship with God. And he said, because of your faith, all the stuff that blocked you from getting to God has now been removed. And now you're called son. Now you're called daughter. When you get ready for revival, God will start to move the stuff out of your life that blocks you from your blessing and then gives you a new name that is above it. He will call you son. He'll call you daughter. Now, just in case, because that was really the end of the story. Jesus was actually done. He had actually performed the miracle. When he said, you are now no longer unclean, but now you are God's child. That was the miracle. Jesus was getting ready to say the benediction, but he heard those enemies in the background saying, I don't believe it. I don't think he really healed him. I don't think he's really forgiven. He couldn't really be. That's blasphemy. And Jesus heard it and said, you know what? Just so you can show your enemy that I blessed you, I'm going to give you a sign. He looked at the enemy and said, what do you think is easy for me to say? Say, son, your sins are forgiven. Or to say, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority in heaven and in earth. He said, I say to you, stand up, take up your mat, and go home. Stand up, my
ground, hallelujah. Stand up, because when God gives you revival, He'll also give you restoration. He'll give you the ability to stand up for justice, stand up for holiness, stand up. So Mount Olive, stand up. Stand up in your home. Stand up on your job. Stand up for your family. Take up your mat. Take up the thing that has been carrying you. Take up your friends. Take up your loved ones. Take up your spouses. Put them on your back and go home. Go back to the place where folks said you couldn't make it. Go back to the place that folks said you were dead and gone. Go back to the place and show them how good God has been. Show them that the Lord will make a way. Show them He'll make your enemies your footstool. And look what happened. Said the man got up immediately and said, went out before all of them. And the folks started shouting. They were amazed. Said they glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen healing like this. We've never seen deliverance like this. We've never seen God open doors like this. Do I have any witnesses? Can God do something so supernatural? Can He perform a miracle that your enemies have to say, we've never seen anything. We didn't think you could come back. We didn't think you'd get another job. We didn't think you were going to make it. We've never seen anything. We've never seen anything. Does anybody have a I've never seen anything praise? I've never seen God blow my mind like this. I've never seen Him heal like this. I've never seen Him deliver like this. I've never seen Him bless like this. I've never seen Him open doors. Open doors like this. They take a few seconds just to praise Him because you never seen it. Come on, let's praise Him because you never seen it. Praise Him because eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, nor has it entered into the heart. I'm done. I'm going home. Well, wasn't Jesus paralyzed when He was on the cross? He was paralyzed for your sins and for mine. They nailed Him to an old rugged cross and He couldn't move because He was paralyzed. He had a crown of thorns on His head. They put nails in His feet. They put a spear in His side. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move, but He let go of the unhealthy limitations. He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Today you shall be with me. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He said, into your hands I commit. He let go of the unhealthy limitations. And He expected the obstacles. It said, He put His head down and He died. That was the obstacle, wasn't it? And then they carried Him. Just like they carried that man to Jesus, they carried Jesus to an old borrowed tomb. They carried Him to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They carried Him and they buried Him. They had to dig through the mud and they lowered Jesus into the tomb. But then God looked up and looked through the mud. He looked through the death and He looked at Jesus and said, I see your faith. And early Sunday morning, He said, stand up with my power in your hand, and I'll give you a name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He is wonderful. He's awesome. He's a mighty. So bless Him. Give Him the praise. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor. Hallelujah. 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 Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for revival. He's going to revive you. Now I need y'all to help me. I didn't do this through the whole sermon, but I want you to turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Smile at him. Smile at him. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the enemy has designed for you. But I need to tell you this one thing. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for revival. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Hallelujah. That's why I praise Him. That's why I bless Him. Because He's worthy. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hey. Hallelujah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul